Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Essential Technologies text line 251-343-0106. Time permitting, I will try to get to your text at the very tail end of today's broadcast. Joining us now on the line, we do this every Friday, someone I like to refer to as our returning champion for my own personal reasons, State Senator Chris Elliott joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing well. Glad to be on with you.
Thanks for making time. We always appreciate it. Super Bowl, will it be on your television?
It definitely will. My son is a huge fan. He's kind of a math guy, and he loves stats. And so he is. We will definitely be watching. He can tell you the stats on every player. He watches that stuff backwards and forwards. And we're gonna be pulling for the Chiefs. We had a goldfish for the longest time, or a betta fish that was named Mahomes for the longest time. So we're big Chiefs people.
Okay, so you're not, thank God, because you're not one of these guys. I cut my cord, and I am a, I don't believe in the evil picture box in my house because Satan, that's Satan's way of coming into my home. That you're actually a normal person that watches the Super Bowl like everybody else.
I do. I mean, the commercials have gotten pretty bad, but the football's still good, so I enjoy watching it.
But it's instructive, right? You watch the commercials, just see how bad things have gotten, I think. I mean, that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to use them kind of as a barometer. I don't think it's necessarily where the culture is. It's, we had a guest on that said this. It's where they want the culture to be. It's where corporate America wants, or they think it should be, or maybe their marketing guys on Madison Avenue in Manhattan want the culture to be.
Yeah, if they're looking at the Super Bowl audience, though, in order to change culture through advertising, I think they're probably off target there. That's going to be more your through the week or midday talk show type stuff. I don't think you're changing a lot of Super Bowl watchers' attitudes with their advertising.
No, I don't think so either. But it is kind of like the last remnant or the last bastion of like the one unifying moment in American culture that people are watching. You don't have like sitcoms that everybody watched or things like that. You have the Super Bowl, and then everybody goes back to their Netflix, or they go back to whatever they're watching on their social media platform or TikTok or whatever.
There you go. If they're back to watching MSNBC or Yellowstone, there's the other two options.
So. I don't think there. Nobody watches MSNBC but Jeff Poor, I'm convinced. But anyway, enough of that. You've had a busy week. I've heard you've been all over the state giving speeches at different places. What you been up to, Senator?
Well, so the it has been a busy couple of weeks, and the next couple of weeks will be busy as well. I'm the incoming chairman of a Senate committee that deals with all things local government, so county and municipal government statutes that will come before the Senate committee on county and municipal government, and they've put a former county commissioner in charge of that, and the committee's actually made up of all former local government folks, which I think is very wise. So you have former mayors, former city council people, former county commissioners on that committee. And one of the things I wanted to do was make sure I got around the state to the regional meetings that the League of Municipalities and the County Commission Association do in their different respective areas. So I've been hitting those all across the state and talking to county commissioners, you know, in their hometowns, and talking to mayors and council people in their hometowns about what's important to them, what they see as upcoming challenges, really what their needs are, and getting to visit with them, and then talking to them about how best to interact with the legislature. You know, when I was a county commissioner, I remember my colleague and a guest you have on sometimes, Senator Pittman, used to ask me, again, as a county commissioner, he'd say, you know, what do we need to do? And I'd say, go home quickly, stop, don't do anything, just leave it alone, you know, because sometimes I felt they did more harm than good. But being able to have a good relationship between your local government folks and your state government folks, I think, is a good thing and results in better laws and better policies. So just trying to encourage that. And I think it's been well received so far.
Do you think you're hearing in particular at these gatherings?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they're concerned about ARPA money and how that is going to get spent. That's for definitely top on list for both the cities and the counties. I think there's some kind of innovative ways that both of those entities are thinking about how to spend that money more quickly than what we've been seeing the state do. So the state has allocated a bunch of money to prisons and broadband and water and sewer infrastructure. The problem is, I don't think that the broadband stuff is really moving very quickly. We've talked about prisons before and how that isn't really moving very quickly. And then we've got this water and sewer stuff, which takes an awfully long time to implement. And the problem with this second tranche of ARPA money is that it has to be spent in a timely manner or it goes away. And I think that putting more money in areas that we've already allocated or appropriated money where it hasn't been spent yet, it's probably not a good idea. So the municipalities and the counties have come up with a better way to spend that money locally more quickly. And if you will, kind of help the state expend that funding really for stuff we could probably see. Think drainage improvements, stormwater drainage improvements and things like that, the counties and cities. It's very close to home stuff that folks can see, as opposed to these more 10,000 foot view things that our constituents may not see.
Well, you raise a good point about the speed of government with prisons, with rural broadband. I've yet to meet an individual who's got internet from any government rural broadband initiative. I hope that changes eventually. And then why would we expect these big as advertised sewer water infrastructure projects to be any different?
Yeah, they just are moving slowly, and again, that's frustrating in and of itself. But it's really problematic when you understand that we're required by the feds to have expended the project. The money has to be spent in a certain amount of time. And so if we continue down the same path we've gone before, I think we're really just going to make that problem worse. And so I think we need to look for some different opportunities to fund some different things. And again, it's always better when constituents can see that money really hitting the ground in individual members' districts and getting expended properly. So that's a good thing. I'll tell you, too, there's going to be a big fight coming up. At least I'm hearing that on SSUT, the Simplified Seller's Use Tax. That's the anything you buy on the internet type of tax. And it's not the tax itself, but rather where that revenue is divided and where it goes. And I think that's a big topic or point of contention for the Big Ten cities. The problem is whatever fix is likely going to come at the expense of all of the other cities and counties around the state. So that'll be a hot topic in the upcoming session.
So it's a little turf war, always good for politics over stuff like that. That seems to be what you're advertising, at least.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, there's some merit in what the big cities are saying. You know, they're used to brick and mortar stores, the sales tax revenue off of those. The problem is, two things happen. One, we started buying a whole lot more stuff online and less in a mall. You know, when was the last time you went to a mall that used to be physically located in a city, and a big city at that, and started buying more stuff online? And so that tax revenue, that sales tax revenue, started being collected differently, but then very much started being distributed differently, both in the state coffers and local coffers. So the way that's done now through the Simplified Seller's Use Tax is less to the state education trust fund budget and more to the general fund budget and local governments. And then that division amongst local governments is what the Big Ten really is taking issue with. So it'll be an interesting thing. Like everything, it's about turf and money up here in Montgomery.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, we'll probably talk about this every week for the rest of my life, but the mass release. Tell me this. You watched this and you were, I remember this so vividly, but here we are, this mass release, and people are starting to wake up to it, and you're hearing a lot about it. And I know you've been quoted in some places talking, you got your own bill to delay it till 2030, but here's what, the learned individuals all scattered throughout state politics are saying. The guys like Attorney General Steve Marshall, you other guys that are creating a hysteria over this mass release. This is all motivated by scoring political points, where I find that just to be totally intellectually dishonest. But I'll let you speak for yourself.
Well, this is not something that I wish we were dealing with right now. This is something that I've got a long record in history of opposing. I mean, look, you're either for locking bad people up or you're not. And I am consistently for locking bad people up and keeping them away from good people, from the public. I think that is the very nature of and basic, argument for public safety. I cannot figure out the opposition to what I'm trying to do here. I can't figure out the proponents of this law that are saying, well, these folks are going to get out early anyway, so let's go ahead and let them out now. If that's your argument, why do we even put them in prison to begin with? I mean, I'm missing something there. The argument, oh, they're going to get out in 9 months or 12 months, so we might as well just let them out now and it'll be cheaper on the state or we'll reduce overcrowding. I don't understand. I'm not following the bouncing ball. With their sentence, they need to stay in there for their sentence. We need to reform the good time law. We need to repeal this get out of jail early just cause law. To the folks, the criminal justice reform types that say, oh, they need to be rehabilitated and they need to, these programs and everything else. Fine. But these are the same people that will tell you that Alabama does a crummy job at that, right? That we're not doing a good job rehabilitating them, that we're not doing a good job with the programmatic things that we need in prison to make people not be criminals when they get out. And if that's the case, then explain to me why we're letting them out early, because all we're doing is letting bad people out of jail. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I think there's an opportunity here really to press the pause button, to take a look at what's happened over the last couple of months with these criminals that have been released, and to see, are they really doing any better or not? I think we're going to have plenty of data that says, no, they're not. I think we're going to have some touchy political topics to talk about when we see some of these folks that have reoffended. And I think that my colleagues are likely to look at pressing a pause button and delaying the implementation of this bill as a welcome option so that we don't continue down this path of letting dangerous criminals out of jail early.
You think you get that one on the floor, though? That seems to me to be a heavy lift, not just in your, maybe in your chamber, but up downstairs in the lower chamber.
I'm sure it's something that that leadership in both chambers after passing this bill doesn't want to see again, right? I mean, they don't want to, it's done, let's not have to deal with that again. And I don't blame them, but that's not what I'm here to do. Do I think it's going to be a challenge? Yes, I do. I mean, you're essentially asking, I'm essentially asking my colleagues to take another look at their vote and change their mind. And, hey, was this just the right thing to do? And that's a hard thing for anybody to do. Did I do the right thing? Was this a good decision? So that'll be a challenge. And then, of course, getting it on the floor. You know how this process works. It's not just a matter of whether or not it gets debated in committee or whether or not you have the votes for it. But you got to get it on the calendar, and that's going to require some assent from leadership. So we'll see how I do. That's my challenge. That's one of the reasons I'm advocating for a delay as opposed to a all-out repeal. I just want to give my colleagues an opportunity. Look at the data. Look at the folks we've let out so far and tell me, is this working? Is this really doing what you thought it was going to do? And if not, let's wait until we got these big, shiny new prisons that have all these great anti-recidivism programming and all this, rehabilitation attributes in them. And then maybe, we'll see if this works, but I don't think it's working now.
No, it's just this though. There is a lot of buyer's remorse. It's hard for me to get a sense of just how much remorse, especially when you have people saying the system is working like it was intended. And, the furthermore, Senator, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, it just looks to me like a way to get some guys out to ease the burden on the overpopulated prisons.
Well, okay. I mean, and I would agree that that is a part of the intention here. But at what cost?
I mean, 83%
of the people in Alabama prisons right now are violent offenders. And the solution being proposed to reduce prison overcrowding is to just let them out. I mean, heck, that's what we were told the feds were going to do, and that's why we've fought that and spending all this money on prisons is so the feds don't let them out of jail. So we're just going to do it. I don't think that's good public policy, and I think that's going to be very contrary to what the public wants, and I think we're going to see serious negative public safety implications from this bill if it's allowed to stay like it is.
But this is what it is. They don't want to say that explicitly. They don't want to say that we are doing this for that reason. They're just looking for ways to reduce that population. Meanwhile, they can certain people can make a case that they're being tough on crime, and we're passing all these tough laws on one hand, but we just don't even know where to put them. So, how do we figure out how do you write that wrong or whatever dot that I? And that's what they're doing. They're just kind of looking for creative outside the way box ways of thinking.
Well, I totally disagree, and I think that the public would certainly disagree with letting dangerous criminals out of jail simply because we don't have room for them in jail. That's why I voted to spend more money on prisons, is to keep dangerous criminals locked up.
They're trying to be too clever about it, and I just don't think people just won't acknowledge it for what it is, but a discussion we'll have to have for later. Senator, we appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk again soon.
We'll do it, Jeff. Thanks, and I hope you all have a great weekend.
You do the same. State Senator Chris Elliott, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Friday morning. Coming up Monday on the program, State Senator April Weaver, Dell Jackson of WVNN, State Representative Shane Stringer, and for Breitbart News, Francis Martel. So loaded show for Monday if you make it through the weekend. And hopefully you can turn in. Rapid fire real quick here, Dirt Digger. Jeff, thank you for you and your family's sacrifices. Y'all give us another week of great broadcast show. Looking forward to next week. Dirk Nigger, you're always very, very kind. Unnamed texture, the higher ed model for education's sake, it's irretrievably broken. Today's colleges are just expensive trade schools, and the actual trade schools are free. Jeff, I had the Chinese, unnamed texture, I had the Chinese, invented everything besides fireworks and chopsticks. I think everything else comes from the industrialization government they have. Guido, I'm not going to read. Irish Indian, I might add. Jeff, the petroleum prices with waxes and raisins and rubber have driven up packaging costs for food as well. Jeff, I heard all morning about Alabama Power overcharging customers millions of dollars and that they'll be refunding some of the money. Well, my question, why not all of it? I don't know the answer to that. And finally, Toothless Bamber, listen to you, Jeff, during your third hour. Usually I catch it at the top of the first hour of the network show, not to put them down, but enjoyed all 3 hours of your show today. Well, we appreciate the kind words, Toothless Bammer. Come up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean Sullivan, the one and only. Sean, what you got for him today?
I'll tell you, I have a Bammer that has a full set of teeth. Jeremiah Castile is going to join me at 1 o'clock on today's show. He's in town. We'll talk to him about why. That comes up a little after 1 o'clock on Midday Mobile. Plus, of course, the big national story with the FBI searching former Vice President Mike Pence's home for documents. Once again, I got to ask you like I do every time. You got any documents you need to fess up to?
I all over North and shredded them.
Okay, good, good. So that was done. So we'll talk about that come up a little bit. Also, it's one of those stories comes from the edge of the internet, but now the experts out there believe the Chinese satellite, not the balloon, but a satellite, has been firing green lasers over Hawaii. You see this?
I did.
And, lasers.
The debate of what it is or is it.
Yes, and what they're up to. We'll get into that also. You mentioned it. Things are looking bleak for Birmingham Southern. Talk about that and a whole lot more coming up in just a few minutes.
I'm going to ask this question. I don't want to know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Super Bowl, what are you doing?
Probably going to be at Callahan's for a Joe Kane party. Getting ready for Joe Kane party for a group.
Well, at least it'll be on, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That is totally passable, acceptable. I will. I just the people that reject it. I'm not watching that. No, 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 no. Anyway, enough of me. I'll try to do better on Monday. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Moore Show on FN Talk 106.5.